Thank you, my brother, and we'd like to take just 1 minute, I want to say that Dr. Dante Rabines has been a faithful servant of God with us for 5 weeks, and have taught the Spanish class for 5 weeks, and now he returned to the Amazon River to say hello to the fish over there, be around the piranhas. Have you seen the piranhas in my office? All that he brought in, you put the finger and it's a second will go. Take 3 seconds for the hands to go with that fish. So he works in that area. And tonight he's going to preach to us in English and is going to show us a DVD with some of his work. He and his wife are here. And will you stand, Dr. Rabines, wherever you are, all right? And let's give a hand to them, all right? Thank you very much. And you have seen for 27 years the Spanish version of Pastor Gabriel Otero. And now I want to show you the Chinese version of Gabriel, because Gabriel is about 3 or 4 years old. Gabriel, will you stand, please, Gabriel? All right, 4 years old. Let's give a hand to Gabriel. Six? Six. Well, it looks yesterday when I saw... And he's bad, and I do not recognize his name. And I said, "Where is the baby?" I said to Maida, it was in the hospital. I said, "It's right here." "Oh, right. What's her name?" It was a big name on the back, Gabriel. But I thought it was for me to go into the room. Here it comes, and Gabriel, you're growing, and may the Lord bless you with great and wonderful prosperity in the kingdom of God. Will you please turn your Bible to the book of Nehemiah? Page 577. For those who are new, and once again, our bulletin carry an insight, and the insert, many of the inserts are there, but one of them is the outline of the sermon the pastor follows through. So you can have there the scripture reference, and between parentheses, the page number of the Bible that is placed in the pew for you if you use that Bible. Nehemiah is the story of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, which took place in the 5th century before Christ, 500 years before Christ. Now, the book of Nehemiah, I say it last Sunday and I want to say it again, depicts the way of recovery from breakdown and ruins to a condition of peace, a condition of security, restore order and usefulness. When God put the hands on it, everybody will see what God really can do. Now, I observe personally in my studies that there are very specific steps that Nehemiah took to accomplish his work, which taken in order, they will lead you and me to a full recovery of whatever situation you are in today. So let us follow those steps and let us see in this handy book how can a person from a ruin and from a complete agony can be so successful like Nehemiah. The first step was chapter 1. And remember what he did? 2 things he did. Number 1, he prayed. Oh, not just repeating a prayer, with conviction. He prayed with conviction. And he knew the first step to take. Remember, in his case, was to talk to the emperor of the world, because the Persian Empire was the emperor of the world. He needed help. And the help that he needed is nothing less and nothing more than the emperor of the world. Of course, he was his FBI body, but if he talked to the emperor without his permission, they cut his head. So he knew that his help was just 1 foot away from him, but he cannot talk on it. But he knew his first step. He prayed and he knew what to do first. That's important in every recovery. Now, second recovery comes today. The second recovery I entitled, Do Your Homework. Do your homework. When people see somebody in a successful career, they do not know that behind the success, it is a great homework that person have done to accomplish his or her work. So now let us see what, how do you do that? How do you do your homework? Some people don't know how to do a homework. And so how do you do your homework? Let's check the chapter that our brother read for us, and I'm going to go verse by verse to show you how Nehemiah did his homework and how wonderful results he accomplished. Number one, Nehemiah waited for the Lord to open the door. Chapter 2 of Nehemiah, verses 1 to 4. Nehemiah did not hesitate to wait. He did not say to the king, all right, king, by the way, I need a favor from you. He wants God to bless him. And when you want God to bless you, you have to wait for God to open the door. Let's look on it. In chapter 1 of Nehemiah, and in verse 1, a month is given. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislu. That's December, approximately December. Remember, our dates are Roman Catholic dates of 31 and 30 and 28 days. These are perfect days, so 29 days and 3/4. They are moon calendars and no solar calendar. All right, so approximately is December. Now, check with me in chapter 2 and in verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Nisan is about April, all right? So they are 4 months from the time that he hears the news, the problem, the agony of the city of Jerusalem, the tremendous disaster of the area, to the time that he is confronted with the opportunity to talk to the king, there are 4 months. 4 months without saying anything except leaving in himself the agony that the land of his fathers, the land of the God of Israel, is destroyed and is in pieces. That changed his face. You know, when you have some agonies in your life, your face can tell. And I assume Nehemiah's face too. There is one thing I want you to know, and this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is a very beautiful text that helps you to understand here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul encouraged the church. In verse 16, he said, rejoice always. But in verse 17, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, you never know for how long you have to pray, of course. You never know. But you have a burden in your heart. You have an agony about something that needs to be done, and you know that only God can open that door. You pray. How long? We do not know. In this case, we know because of history, there were 4 months. And so he prayed without ceasing. Now, you maybe have an idea of how things need to be arranged for you to have a successful out of the problem. Perhaps Nehemiah have an idea, and he did. He tell us in chapter 1 at the end that he was the FBI of King Ahasuerus. He have an idea. If I talk to the emperor, I've solved the problem. But he did not talk to the emperor by his own idea. He wants to know if this idea is God's idea. Now, how do you talk to the emperor? You're a servant. When you work at that time, when you're a worker, you don't have rights and unions and things like that. You're a servant. You work and you cannot even talk to your boss. If he will talk to the king, he will lose his life. He needs to be completely silent, always responding, never approaching the king. How in the world are you going to do that? 4 months gone. Can you imagine that? He knew that the solution was in the hands of this rich empire who took over Jerusalem, who were the enemies of Jerusalem. So he's going to ask the enemy to help him to rebuild Jerusalem. How in the world he's going to do it? If you want an impossible situation, this is it. Persia was the enemy of Jerusalem. Destroy Jerusalem. And now he needs to ask Persian, will you please help me to build up Jerusalem? It's like asking this crazy guy who is now the president of Persia, asking him, will you help us to build Jerusalem? It's something like that. Look at how crazy it is. How this could happen? Happen. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20 years of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now he's sad, very sad. His face has changed. And he handled the king the wine. Now the king knows that if the wine is clean, he tried it first. He did not die. Now the king is going to try it. But when he saw his sad face, he said, something is cooking here. Look at verse 1. He said, I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. He was a happy man. Let Pastor say, always happy. Always happy. Doesn't matter what happened, always happy. But now he's sad. And the king's mind is fast. You know, he said, something is cooking. Verse 2. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, you don't have the swine flu, why are you sad? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid, or as the plain Hebrew said, very much afraid. You cannot be sad in the presence of the king, or whoosh, they walk on your head. Wow. Wow. But you know, this ugly situation is the open door that God used to blow the hinges away. Look at verse 3. He expelled the beans, as we say in America. Verse 3. I said to the king, may the king live forever. That assured his guarantee that he's for the king. Why should my face not be sad? When the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. So he threw the ball. He said, God, you put me in this spot. God, you press me. God, now I have no way to go out, no way to lie or to say an excuse. He said, I spell the beans. I tell the king the truth. And all Jesus said, the truth will make you free. Remember, young people, to a professor or to somebody, you have not done the homework or whatever, just tell the truth. Even if you get a zero, it's better to get a zero with honor and not something covering. He told the truth. He said, now, this is what happened. And now he's waiting. What happened? Verse 4. Then the king said to me, what do you like to have? What do you request? Can you imagine that? He knows the king is the archenemy of Jerusalem. He knows this is the most powerful empire of the world. And he said, now this is what happened. The city that you destroy is, I'm really sad for my family. And the king said, well, how can I help you? No wonder the verse said here, the only thing he can do, look at verse 4. The only thing he can do is just to pray. I pray to the God of heaven. He said, God, what's going on? You answered my prayer. Sometimes when God answers our prayers, we get shocked. Really? I was praying for this and now it's done. You say, God, you are there. Sometimes, from time to time, God answers our prayers in a marvelous way. So God unbolted the doors, and then in verse 4, the hinges of that door blew away. The super king, the millionaire, the powerful, the emperor said, can I help you? So remember, number one, do your homework. is wait for God to open the door. Don't try you to do anything. Don't ever try to engineer anything. Just pray and let God bring the circumstance. He's going to bring something that you never imagined in your way. Something that you cannot plan. Something that you never dream. God's going to bring it in so that he accomplishes his will in your life. Number two, Nehemiah was a wise man. Young people, in the school you get knowledge, but in life you get wisdom as you apply that knowledge into your life. Let's look on it. Verse 5, he presents his case in the possible light. Now remember, if he mentioned Jerusalem, the king, Jerusalem, oh, I'm against it. So how that he's going to talk about it? Look at verse 5. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting by him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. You know what the time was? 12 years. There was no say, I take the bus and come back. 12 years. 12 years. All right? He presented his case in the possible light. Now, verse 6 tells us that he knew his task very well. Then the king said to me, the queen also, setting the time. He was not babbling. He knew what to do, and the king is watching. He's a businessman. And so he knew the task very, very well. Now, I want you to notice the end of verse 5. In verse 5, say, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb. When he answered to the king, he said, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Now, the vocabulary for you means nothing, but for the Persian people will mean something, and for an Egyptian. What do you do if you go on a tour in Egypt? You're going to see those pyramids, and under those pyramids are the pharaohs of the Egyptian Empire. These people venerate the dead. And so Nehemiah politely, and with great psychology, he used words very careful. And he did not say, I want to build Jerusalem to be the empire of the world again. He said, I want to protect the tombs of my parents. And the king said, well, that's very noble. That's exactly what a person should do. Because they do not know what everlasting life, but they knew there was life. So they built those pyramids in order to protect the dead so that they can live again. And so the king was saying, well, what he wants is what we want. Protect the tomb of your people. What a psychologist. You talk about a politician. Man, he was number one. Verse 7 and 8, he knew what he needs. Now remember, he's confronted by the best businessman in the area. And he said, well, what do you need? Look at verse 7. Furthermore, I say to the king, if pleases the king, let letters be given to me, to the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till come to Judah, and letters to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. He knew every detail, and he was not cheap. He said, I need this, I need this, I need this. You remember, there are different provinces, which you have states in America. There were different provinces, and to cross the province, he needed to have a letter from the king, permit to cross. Not like you drive your car to Oregon. Before, we have checkups. Now we don't. When we came from Oregon, the police will stop you and then they check your car for apples and things and all this. Now you pass back and forth. No, at that time, each time you cross a province, they check you all over. All right? He said, I need a permit from you, a letter from the king. I said, the king sent me. And boy, and then King said, I had no money, I had no supply. I need to cut all the Lebanon trees so that I can build a house for God and a house for me. He really knew what he wanted. The kings really liked it, because in verse 8, the Bible said, and the king granted them to me. So, young people, and everyone, listen carefully. You wait for God to open the door. And then when God opened the door, you need to exhibit wisdom that you know what to do with that door that has been opened before you. Thirdly, Nehemiah's experience God's blessing. Now, we said, you know, the President of the United States said, God bless America. He doesn't know what that means. And many people, from the president down, said, God bless America. What does that mean, God bless America? Turn your Bible to Proverbs. In chapter 10, you can know when God bless you. You can know. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he add, here it is, no sorrow with it. When God bless you, the thing that you are doing brings no sorrow to your life. That's the blessing of God. You can get older. Some people get older, you know. They get 70, some people. And they don't feel sorry about it, because God has blessed them with contentment, with contentment. When God bless you, you do not feel sorry about it. All right? Keep that in mind. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. When God bless you, you never feel sorry about it. All right? Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 9. Remember, the king said, I want to supply everything. But he forgot the most important part in that economy and that background. When an officer of the police force or an officer of the army come here in America, he has the same rights that a civilian, not in another country. If I'm making a line and an officer come in Mexico, the officer is first. He's an officer of the armed force or whatever. He need to be taken care of first. Understand that, because you need to understand. We're not talking about the American economy. We're talking about the Persian economy. Somebody with a uniform is more important than you, even though you may be a millionaire. All right? So now let's look on it. Verse 9, then I went to the governors in the region beyond the river, and gave them the king's letter. Now, he said, the king has sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. An armed escort makes a great impression and authority. He not only knocks the door of the governor, but he said, Captain so-and-so and Sergeant so-and-so and all the cavalry behind is in the army of Persia is with me. Oh. Got it. He forgot that little detail. You need a little push. You need a little level to get the things done. And the king knew it. Now look at in verse 10. Reality time comes. When God bless you, add no sorrow. But that doesn't mean you have no travel. Doesn't mean that. Look at verse 10. This is reality time, what I call it. Look at verse 10. When Sambalat the Horonite. Now, Horonite is come from Horon. Horon is the devoted god of Palestine. So he's a descendant of that. Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite. Tobiah Ammonite is from Ammon. Ammon is Jordan today. Archie enemies of Israel all the time. When Tobiah the Ammonite servants heard of it, they were deeply disturbed. A man had come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. Reality time has come. Each time you set your house in order and you're going to be blessed by God, and you're going to be a really use of God to do his ministry, also Satan raise up to disturb you, because Satan is the archie enemy of God and doesn't want any one of us to have a very successful, peaceful, wonderful life serving him. And so more you dedicate your life to God, more Satan is going to be right there by you. It's just eye to eye. And so Nehemiah experienced God's blessing. That doesn't mean that Satan cannot be active. God's blessing is that you know that you are in the hands of a mighty God. That doesn't avoid Satan attacks. That doesn't avoid Satan around you. That doesn't avoid Satan disturbance. But you are in the hands of the mighty God. Finally, Nehemiah entered the open door. Now, how you proceed? That's very important for all of us, how to do the work. How do you proceed? You can copy this, and this will be a remarkable thing for your life. Now, first, he takes time to recover. Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, doing nothing. It's good to take time to recover. We've been working for a year without break. And I told my wife, I can no longer operate. I need a place to sit and read, because that's my therapy. And I have already 2 books of 600 pages to read, very deep, profound books of history that I want to find out what they did in the year 290 to 410. And I need a place with water, and I need a place that you enjoy it, 105, 110. I don't care as long as I have an umbrella. And so we took 2 weeks. We went no place whatsoever except to sit down and read. And when I was tired to read, I did boom, boom, 20 laps and back again. It's good to have time like that. It takes time. Take time before you make a decision. You need to take absolutely time so that you are calm, cool, and collected. What do you think a doctor does in surgery? He looks at the MRI, he looks at the details, and then he goes to his office and he looks at it again. He looks at the cases that went done before, and when he's sure that he knows what is in his hand, he do it peacefully. Take time. Verses 12 to 16, he began to examine things personally. Don't give the job to anybody, do it yourself. Then I arose in the night, verse 12, and I and few men with me. I told no one what my God hath put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well, and the refuse gate, and view the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gate, which were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal under me to pass. So I went up in the night by the valley and view the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate, so return. And the official did not know where I have gone or what I have done. I had not yet told the Jew, the priest, the nobles, and the officials. So begin to examine what you need to do personally. Actually, begin to see the extent of your problem. How big is the problem? How big? Don't be afraid to really, truly examine all through. That's what a CEO will do. A good CEO, he looks to the whole panorama, the good and the bad, entirely, so that he knows how to make his decision. Now, verse 17 comes the decision. The moment of challenge has come. He knew by his examination that he cannot do the job alone. It's impossible for him to do it. So he asked for help. Look at verse 17. He says, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. And he gave them a focus. Not the bricks, not the tower, nothing. Look at the focus of his work, He said, that we may no longer be a reproach. That the name of God be glorified. And that's the focus of your life. When you make a decision, the decision that you make should have a target. And the target is that God be glorified by the decision that you make. That when you make that decision, people will say, that man loves God. Verse 18. And I told them, of the hand of my God, he gave a testimony, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to do this good work. All right. He was a man of wisdom, but he knew he was a man truthful, and he knew how to make a decision. I cannot do it alone, so I challenge these people. I tell them the truth, and I wait. And the people said, let's do it. Now, again, when you put your hands on the work, always you're going to have difficulties. Look at verse 19. Always. Verse 19, those rascals come again. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials and Gesen the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? That's a lie, remember? We just studied in chapter 2 that the king sent him. The king said, you better go. And now the enemy always, what is, remember John 8, 44? Said that Satan is the prince of lies. And so I expected that somebody would put a lie on you. And here's what they said. He said, Satan, arise. The people said, we will do the job. And Satan said, we will destroy it. By lies. Well, what do you do in case like that? Verse 20. So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. See, he did not argue with them. He said, now, I know what I'm doing. I know God's will for my life. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. You who are an unbeliever have no right to say a word about my job in the kingdom of God. Wow, that's absolutely wisdom. That is a remarkable wisdom. Nehemiah's determination was absolute. He said, I know what I'm doing. I know, he said, the God of heaven, if God did all of this already, he's going to prosper me to finish. He finished in 54 days. We will see it. I asked many construction companies, if we're going to build the walls of Jerusalem with no machines, with the enemy shooting daggers to you, how many days? What are you talking about? I'm talking about 54 kilometers. How many men? Well, women, men who never work in bricks, no mixtures, no machine, no electricity, just by hand make the mixtures, put the thing, first dig, take the old stones, put the new stones. How many? Well, we had no idea. 54 days, he finished. He really knew what to do. So what's the lesson? Very important lessons. Do your homework before decision making. And I give you some examples. You say to me, oh, Dr. Otero, there is no God. Well, I will say to that person, have you ever read here in Psalm 14, and in verse 1, what the Bible said for those who said there is no God? In Psalm 14, the Bible said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So don't speak like a fool. Do your homework and talk to me later. You are young, good-looking, sharp, looking for a companion, a girl or a boy. What is the best counsel, Pastor? Oh, right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God said. So do your homework. You're really anxious to get married. Do your homework. Pray for a believer. Pray for a believer. See, you have to do your homework. At my counseling table, I hear everything I need to hear. In most cases, I bleed inside because I love you. In the Bible, some people take decisions without... Look at Ephesians 5. Some people take decisions without looking. They are married and they have difficulties. But look at what the Bible said, Ephesians 5, verse 21. I just finished a big booklet, about 300 pages of marriage, approved by the state of California. And here's what chapter 5 says in a remarkable way. It's just fantastic. Look at verse 21. He says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Me and man, I have to submit. Yes, You listen to your wife. That's what God said. Submitting to one another. Doesn't say men to men, women to women, to one another. So you listen to your wife. You have a great idea. And your wife say, sorry, I don't think it is. Oh, don't panic. You have to do like I do. I work more to the presentation again. All right? Sometimes I win, sometimes I don't. But that's what they said. And there will be peace. And if your wife knows that you reason with her, she respects you, admire you, adore you. And you feel like a million-dollar man. But then, ladies, look the play. You know, I don't know American football. I will never know. There are, I don't know, how many in a team? How many in a team? How many players? 11. They kill each other. 11 killing each other with 11. But in football, soccer, no? That's the elite. 11 also. I play as a goalie. Imagine. They all had a great idea. I run away from the goalie, try to kick the ball out in front. I think that the coach die if I do that. Why? You need to play in your own position, he said. And he has a ball. And he throw on the board. This play, the left fullback do this, the right fullback this, the goalie goes here. He had that in your mind 350,000 times until you walk to the field and you know what I did? You know the Coca-Cola bottle? I took that and I put it so that I can see where I can be so I don't disturb him. Now here's what the Bible says. Why? Verse 22. Submit to your own husband. As in the Lord. In other words, listen to your husband as your Lord. In America? Yes, in America. Do that. Wow. Verse 23. Husband is the head of the wife. Christ is the head of the church and so on. Now, verse 25. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, you love your wife with all kinds of sacrifice, period. That's the magical cost. You love your wife. Now, when you find all of this, see, when you do your homework, remember what Peter said when Jesus told Peter, ta 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 ta. Peter said, oh, if I knew that, and I added before, if I knew that, I would never get married. Peter said that. So the Catholic Church would say Peter was not married. That's another scripture that tells you that he was married. If I knew that, he said, I'd never get married. Jesus, that's too much responsibility. So you do your homework. Before you get married. Don't say there is no God. Don't say there is no penalty for sin. The Bible said the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Don't speak for speaking. Do your homework. Do you think we are in church because this is a social activity? No, we are commanded to gather together to worship the Lord and to learn from Him. Do your homework. Don't do things for doing. The chapter 2 of Nehemiah is telling us, do your homework before you do something. Young people say, I want to study. This is what God tells you to have to study? You can be an electrician. You can be a bricklayer. You can. There is no offense in any kind of work. In other words, if you do your homework, God will have a specific task for you. Remember Ephesians 2:10? That He gave us a work to do to His honor. May God teach us today that we are God's children, not left to the results of anything that happened in the world, but left to His will. Let us pray that God will use our life to His glory by doing His will. And the only way to do His will is you search God's Word. You search God's Word. And as you search God's Word and you do your homework, you come to walls that you don't understand the other, and keep on doing. Wait, don't take a decision until you are sure this is God's will for your life. If you do it, you will see the blessings of the Lord. They add no sorrow. I saw young ladies in my life that marry unbelievers' boy, and they saw the sorrow. I drove to Los Angeles to pick them on the street with their babies abandoned by their husband. I went to their homes, and the parents don't want to receive her. And I begged them in the name of the Lord to build a little room in the back of the house and have it. And I have the joy of shaking my hand by a doctor who said, you saved my life when you took my mother out in Los Angeles. See, God works in a mysterious way. In a mysterious way. But don't go through the ruin of life. Just, you're a Christian. You know that God paid for your sin. Your sins are gone. There is no more penalty. Now there is the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. But you have to be good kukusa. You have to exercise your mind in the Word, and the rest will be history. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And today you taught us, yes, you are with us. Yes, you want to bless us. But we must do our homework so that we can glorify your name. Oh, God, help us. We all the same. Doesn't matter if we are doctors or we are carpenters or whatever. We are all the same. We are children saved by the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and live a life of pleasing your name. And Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
In God's heart there's a place that I was meant to fill. I find amazing grace when I'm found within His will. And He's reserved a sacred place where we could spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. Every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His ways, that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving. My heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. Thank you. heart there's a place that only He can fill. He covers my disgrace with the blood that Jesus spilled. And He invites me to a place where we can spend the day. And He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed that God would spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His ways, that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. I'm overwhelmed that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His ways. In every day, in every way, I'm amazed. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed.
Please, for the benediction. Thank you, Brother Olivas, for such a beautiful song. Lord, we stand before Your presence. We are children of the living God, and we experience the trials of life like Nehemiah did. Cause us, O God, to do a homework quietly like Nehemiah did, personally, and cause us to know that we are doing God's will, and give us the patience to wait for the open door. Give us the strength to choose what is right and to tell the truth above all. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give You the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.